Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago in my ministry. I trust it'll bless you.
I beheld the earth, the prophet says, and lo, it became without form and void. Even from the English, you can recognize this. It is in the Hebrew, tohu vabohu. He watched the day it happened. And the heavens, and they had what? No light. That's what made it go tohu vabohu. If God removed himself, his light from here right now, we'd go into a mess immediately. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man or no being, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of Jehovah. God's presence is as destructive of evil as it is creative of good. And here he destroyed what he had created. He destroyed it by his fierce anger and his presence. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens be black. And that's the day earth became, it tells us in Jeremiah, tohu vabohu. Bless the Lord. Turn to 2 Peter 3:6. I think we'll have time to throw this in. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You notice I've got more than three scriptures. I'm not one of those three scriptures and a poem preachers. I wish I could do it, but I can't. No, 2 Peter 3:6. Bless the Lord. Here Peter speaks in this chapter, in verse 6, he says, whereby the world that then was, he speaks of a world that was, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. This is not Noah's flood. This is the world that then was, before Genesis 1-2. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now, we're living here in the heavens and the earth which are now. We're headed toward verse 13. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So there was a world that then was, concerning this earth. There's this earth that is now, and it is, oh, we read a little more now about this earth. Verse 7. The heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This earth will know a judgment of fire at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. And it will then be perfect. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, and there'll be new heavens, there'll be a new earth. It ain't over till it's over, folks. Hallelujah. Evil didn't win. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, what's coming now? We're in a time of judgment. Even the end of this age is a time of judgment. And some things that have been hidden are being revealed and coming up so that everybody will say God's right when he judges it. Even in men's lives, I'm seeing a lot of things come up now that we didn't know were there. And they were hidden for years. They didn't tell anybody they had that secret sin. But it's come up. Sometimes I hear about it in four or five preachers in the same week. It was there. It could have been dealt with. But now, the Bible says, all that's hidden will be revealed. So don't despair of this time. God's the winner. Bless the name of Jesus Christ. There was a world that then was. That is the world of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. God made it. God, it was perfect. People, some beings lived here. But something happened to that world. That chaotic day happened when God's fierce anger so judged that world. Its cities fell. He removed his light from that world. When did it happen? Here's what Bullinger says, and I think it's a good statement. In Genesis 1, we have the world that then was. In verse 2, we have the ruin into which it fell. We are not told how, when, or how long it lasted. When geologists have settled how many years they require, they may place them between verse 1 and verse 2. The world, as we know it, the earth, is not just 6,000 years old. Adam was created 6,000 years ago, but the earth is very, very old. And in that world that then was, their animals were different than our animals now. They had dinosaurs. And we still find their bones around and birds and things that we don't have now. But when he made the new order of things, he made new animals. But he did call forth the same seed that was in the earth. We had the same plants. And if you read Genesis chapter 1 carefully, you will see that he called forth the seed that was in the earth. Bless the Lord. Now, I like to study things, you know, and I like to listen to the dinosaur experts. The dinosaur experts really don't know a whole lot, but they're very interesting people, and if you've ever watched them on these TV specials on PBS, there's this one that wears the funny brown felt hat. Do you know him? You know him. Well, right. So he's funny. They're all funny. They're eccentric. They're odd. But dinosaurs are very popular these days. And for years and years and years, one great question they've had is what happened to the dinosaurs? And they have theories of what happened to the dinosaurs. Brother Hagin says a theory is a supposition based upon ignorance of the question at hand. So they had these theories, what happened to the dinosaurs? Some involved their sex life. All kind of things. But recently, the dinosaurs experts, they're getting closer and closer to the truth. Science gets closer and closer to the Bible. And now they have decided that all the dinosaurs died on the same day. And that something cataclysmic happened, such as like a meteor hit Earth or something, and now they're right. Because there was a day the dinosaurs died. It was the day that God was so angry, his presence came on this earth and shook the cities down. And then he said, I'm removing light. And he removed himself from the earth. And earth became this dark, dismal, chaotic mess. It happened the day Lucifer fell. Now we'll quickly look at some scriptures regarding this fall. Isaiah chapter 14. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isaiah 14, speaking of Lucifer. Isaiah 14, 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones or leaders of the earth. I wouldn't want to be a king of this earth if I wasn't going to honor God. Because they've got some special things in store for them if they don't. Even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the earth. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? These are those leaders who once moved with pomp and circumstance. Pompous leaders of the earth that did not recognize the Most High God. There's a special place in hell for them. We could read about it in Isaiah 24. We don't have time. But this speaks of them. They followed Satan and his anti-God. And they're going to say this to him. They shall speak and say, are you as weak as we are? We followed you. Verse 11, your pomp is brought down to the grave. Their pomp will be brought down to the grave. And the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How did it happen? You were this great one. How did it happen? How art thou cut down to the ground who didst weaken the nations? This is the answer. This is how Lucifer fell. This is how God made Lucifer perfect. He made a devil out of himself. How did he do it? A creature God made perfectly. We know God's word is perfect. Work. And for him to make a perfect creature, that perfect creature has to have a thing in it that makes it a little dangerous to God. In fact, a lot dangerous to God. God could have made beings, perfect bionic computer beings with skin over them who never missed it, and God put chips in them and programmed them so they'd always worship him and be nice. But God wanted perfect creatures, not Pinocchio puppets. So he made creatures, even the angels in the order before man, with a thing called a will. And in a person or an angelic being, this will is yours to control. God won't control it. He doesn't like people to control other people's wills either. That's what makes cults. They say, you have to do this. You have to stay here. You can't go. Churches say, we offer you the best, but the door is open. We don't control people's wills. And Satan Lucifer was the first one. You see, he was the anointed cherub that covered. He was the one that had to do with worship. But worship means nothing unless you will to worship. You can come in here today and put your hands up and sing Redeemed just like everybody else, but if you don't will to worship, it means nothing to God. One of my friends once, Sister Jeannie Wilkerson, told about some people sitting on the platform of a great meeting, and the woman said, "Oh Lord, these people are worshiping you. How wonderful, beautiful it is." And he said, "I'm going to open your eyes in the spirit." He opened her eyes, and she saw out of a few people light beams going up to God. He said, "Those are the ones worshiping me. Others had their mind on their roast." That's when we used to cook. Now it's, "Will the line be long at Luby's?" See, it means something if you came to church this morning because you wanted to come. It means more than if your wife had to throw a fit before all the morning to get you here. Moving right along. Hallelujah. How did you fall, Lucifer? The kings of the earth say, "We followed you." How'd you fall? Here's how it happened. Verse 13, "Thou hast said in thine heart, I will." Lucifer was the first to take his will and turn it against God. He crossed wills with God. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They shall look narrowly upon you," it says, "and say, is he the one that shook kingdoms?" You see, he said, "I am going." He had a throne. It was someplace in a place under clouds. It was someplace he had to ascend to go into the heaven of heavens. And so he said, "I will take my throne. I'm going to move it up there on God's great Zion's hill in heaven. I'm going to receive worship rather than get it, give it." And he led a rebellion against God. There really was a Star Wars. A lot of the themes of the movie makers, they're not really scriptural, but they got their ideas from in here. There really was a Star Wars. There really was an attack on heaven. He led a third of the angels, deceived them, can you imagine? And led them in an attack on heaven. How did it turn out? Jesus tells us in Luke, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the sky." When he attacked heaven, God's fierce anger crashed him. And God's fierce anger shook this earth and removed his light. And in God's great orderly universe says, there was a room, tohu va bohu, it was earth. I don't know if angels are gossipy or not. I kind of think they are, in a way. But you know, they're going around and they see that place. I don't know if they talk about it and they say, "What do you think? Did he miss it?" It's what people say about Brother Oral Roberts, you know, built the city of faith. Did he miss it? Did he miss? Did God miss it? Made that earth and didn't turn out right? It's only one thing so far didn't turn out right, what he did. I think they do because they watch. And we have a conversation of one of them recorded for us in Psalm 8, if you will turn there. Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.